In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen. Did you ever have one of those times, maybe it was a day, maybe it was a decade, where you're just at the end of your rope? You just don't have any inner spirit left. When you're well past the limits of your patience or your endurance, your optimism, maybe even your faith. And then just when you thought you were alone, God sends you just the right person, with just the right words, or with just the right gifts. Now, the person could be someone you know and love, someone close. It could be a fringe acquaintance, could be even a random stranger. And then they say, or they do, or they are just what you need to shed light on your situation, to bring comfort and energy and healing, to get you back on your path. In our two readings this morning, the presence, the words of another person do just that. Bring light, bring energy, bring newness, bring healing, bring even life itself. Three times in two readings, the word or the presence of another person alters the course of somebody's life in a very big way. In the reading we heard from Acts that Jonathan read for us, Peter first encounters a man named Aeneas. This fellow had been bedridden for 8 years. 8 years. Peter sees him and says, "Aeneas, arise. Arise." Aeneas is able to overcome his paralysis and walk. And not only walk, but carry his bed. I love how they're always told to carry their bed. It shows that new life isn't not some weak teetering. It's not like Aeneas is doing one of these. He's getting up. He's carrying his bed. He's strong through and through, walking forward with the power of the spirit and of the body made whole. Aeneas, at that point in his life, did not yet have the power within himself to walk. Or if it was in there, it was caged, it was buried, it was pressed down somehow. But God, through the voice of a stranger, uncaged the divine power of Christ within, and that sick bed could hold Aeneas no longer. It flipped from the bed holding Aeneas to Aeneas holding the bed. Now, shortly thereafter, Peter finds Tabitha, who has died. But in Christ, even death is no match for Peter's voice saying, "Arise," because his voice contained the power of God. What was completely gone in Tabitha was restored by God through another person. And then finally, in our gospel reading, Jesus finds a man by the sheep gate at a washing pool called Bethesda, where many, many sick people were gathered around, some probably there permanently, some brought each day by family, because periodically the waters would be stirred by an angel, and whoever was first to enter would be made whole. Among the sick, there was a paralyzed man who had been waiting 38 years for healing. It's a long time to wait. And how does Jesus heal this man? With a word: arise, take up your bed, and walk. And notice a bit, again, carry your bed, take up your bed. This is a full body healing. Not just the legs, but the entire person is healed. Now, before Jesus heals him, they have a brief conversation. Jesus asks him, "Do you want to be healed?" And the man makes a very profound observation in his response. He says, "I have no one to put me into the pool." That's really a hard sentence to hear if you have any compassion in your heart. I have no one. I have no one. And I'm obviously never going to be the first under my own power. And what makes his response profound and indeed wise is his recognition that he needs outside help. I have no one to help me. And for this task, I need someone. Now, sometimes we have exactly what we need already inside of us. Sometimes God's already placed the grace and the power within you. Other times, God has placed the power and the grace you need in somebody else, in somebody else. And the paralyzed man knew, for this healing, I have no one to help me, and I need outside help. I mean, he knew what was up. He'd been there 38 years. If the power was in him, he would have found it. Aeneas, a similar situation, bedridden for 8 years, and Tabitha, of course, had died. All three needed the grace God had placed in another person. And the lesson for us is fairly straightforward. Think about it. We live in a society that values what? That values self-reliance. That values pulling up yourself by your bootstraps. And for many people, their family systems reinforce that. Our inner critic reinforces that. You know, the voice that says, you should be able to handle this yourself. You should be the helper, not the one in need, right? Even the church sometimes, we can often speak like that, or at least emphasize that half. The person who needs your help is the face of Christ to you. Help them. We hear that, and it's true. That part is true. But it's also true that the person coming to help you, the other person in whom Jesus has put the grace for your healing, that person is the face of God to you also. And just as surely as not ministering to someone in need is not ministering to Christ, to decline the help God sends you in another person is to decline God. Or to put it another way, do you want to know what the face of God looks like? Well, it's the face of the person sent to help you. That's the face of God. The face of the person with just the right grace and just the right words and just the right presence you need in that moment. There are times all of us are at the end of our rope when we just don't have any inner spirit left. When we are past the limits of our patience, our endurance, maybe even our faith itself. And just when you thought you were alone, God sends you just the right person. For Aeneas and Tabitha, it was Simon Peter. For the paralyzed man by the sheep pool, it was Jesus himself. We don't always know ahead of time when God's grace will come through another person, or indeed which person it will be. But when that person is sent, be ready to receive their gift, because in that moment, that person is the face of God to you. Amen. Amen.